Please open your Bibles to Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. As you may find that in your pew Bible, page 1048. Hear then God's holy and inspired word. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So far, the reading of this portion. Now, there are several texts that I want to draw your attention to. The first one is 1 Thessalonians. This passage we've read, the verses 6 and 7. 1 Thessalonians 1, the verses 6 and 7. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. And then we turn to 2 Thessalonians and chapter 3. And I want to read the verses 7 and 9. 2 Thessalonians 3, the verses 7 and 9. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. And then verse 9, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Then one more Bible passage, we go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. You can find that on page 1019. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I deliver them to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. No, let me just read verse 1. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So far, then, the reading of God's Word and the reading of our texts. Congregation of the Lord, what is easier, being a leader or being a follower? Now, of course, it depends on the circumstances. It is hard to be a follower of a car in busy traffic and through many stoplights. You almost have to stay right on his or her bumper in order to stay with that first car, with that leader. On the other hand, it is easier to be a follower if you are taking a walk through a forest and following someone who knows the way while you don't know the way. And so it depends on the circumstances. Now, this afternoon, we're not going to be talking about following in busy traffic or following someone in a forest, unknown forest. But I want to speak to you about following a person or following the example of, or examples, plural, of persons as well. And now, when we were young, and I think some of our young people can still identify with that, when we were young, we would often, or maybe we don't think that we do, but we do, we often would follow the example of father or mother or older brother or sister. Then there are also young people who tend to follow a teen model, or what I would want to call a teen idol. And following such a teen idol is not always a very good thing to do. Well, the writer to this letter to the Thessalonians also has some models in mind. And they are good examples to follow. Good examples. And let's hear about them then. As I declare to you, Paul's call to be followers. In the first place, Paul's example that he follows. Secondly, Paul's example for us to follow. And then thirdly, Paul's call for us to be example setters. Now, I don't know where that word dine came in, but somehow it snuck up in my computer and I send it off that way without realizing that I did. So it's not your printer's fault or the one who made up the bulletin. It's my fault. So the word dined is not there. Anyway, congregation, who is Paul's example that he follows? Who is that example? Well, there's a hint of this already in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, where we are told, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord." But in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul makes it absolutely clear for us so that there's no mistaking, and he says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." And he actually uses the same word in the original language, follow, imitate, same meaning. And therefore, Paul's example here that he follows or imitates is no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, Jesus Christ is not only the Savior who saves us from our sins. He is that, and to a great extent, and it is a glorious thing. He saves from sin. But Jesus Christ is also an example, and He has given Himself as an example for us, you and me, to follow as well, and to follow what is right. In other words, Jesus Christ, boys and girls, young people, Jesus Christ should be our model. He should be our model. And this is particularly important for us to remember if we want to be, and we should be, faithful Christians. We should be followers of Jesus Christ. After all, Christians are said to be followers of Jesus Christ. He Himself calls us to that. And you remember from Matthew 16 and verse 24, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That's what Jesus Himself says. And in John 12, verse 26, He tells us, "If anyone serves me, let him," her, "follow me." So He says. Well, now, what does it mean then to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? It means more than just saying that you are a Christian. It means more than saying that you have a certain relationship with Jesus Christ. It means that you adore Him, you worship Him, and you want to do exactly what He has set before you in terms of being an example. In fact, it means that you have a great desire to imitate Jesus Christ. That is what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't have that desire, dear people, or if you are not inclined to follow Him, then you have to ask yourself if you have really any need for the Savior, Jesus Christ, or if you have ever sought Him as your Savior. If at present, in fact, you are unwilling to have Jesus Christ as your example to follow, and prefer to follow your own inclinations and your own preferences, and head out in your own way, you might not be a Christian at all. How does Paul have Jesus Christ then as his example, you might ask? In what way was Jesus Christ the great example to the Apostle Paul? Well, to be honest, you will need to read especially 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians in order to get an impression of that. In fact, you could also read some of his other letters, and that would help, because once you read through that with that in mind, now, how does Paul follow Jesus Christ? You'll get a good picture of that. Now, I must say that it is not possible to imitate Jesus Christ in every respect. After all, we cannot imitate Him as being the Savior of mankind. We cannot imitate Him in His miracle workings either. We cannot imitate Him in how He, for instance, bore the wrath of God for the sin of mankind and its condemnation, in that He is supreme, He is unique. But it is safe to say at the same time that Jesus Christ, as an example, was busy with the Word of God. He was busy with the Word of God. And we can certainly imitate Him in that, can't we? We should imitate Him in that. And as one commentator has rightly pointed out, when Jesus Christ was still on earth, He not only spoke the Word of God, but He lived the Word of God. And in that, you and I are called to imitate Him. Now, how did Jesus Christ live the Word of God? How was He a model? How was He one that Paul could imitate? Well, Jesus Christ lived and He modeled a life of serving others. Of serving others. He once said to His disciples, "I am among you as one who serves." And He modeled this type of serving as well effectively around the same time. How? Well, the boys and girls know that. When He washed the disciples' feet. How else did Jesus Christ live the Word and served? Well, He served patiently, kindly, compassionately. He never turned anyone away who came to Him for help or for advice. Even those who were not of the nation of Israel and those who were not of the covenant people of Israel, they too received His help. We know that, don't we? A Samaritan woman received His help. A Roman centurion received His help. Jesus Christ never judged any of them. Even when a woman caught in adultery was set before Him, He did not judge her, but He said the following to her: "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Now, did Jesus Christ never speak a sharp word? Oh, yes, He did. He did. Those who opposed His word, they could count on some very sharp rebukes, like, "Woe to you, scribes! Woe to you, Pharisees, hypocrites!" And when it was necessary to rebuke someone who opposed His teaching and His serving, Jesus Christ did not hold back. But by and large, as Jesus Christ served the needy, the troubled, the unsure, the hesitating, and those who had various questions, He always served them in love and in compassion. That's how He served. And even when a rich young man, sometimes known as a rich young ruler, could not get himself to follow the Savior, but went away sorrowful because Jesus told him to sell all that he had and follow Him, this young man went away. Then we read, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Always kind, always compassionate for those who were struggling. Well, this is how Jesus Christ has been an example for Paul. busy in the Word of God, serving others, so that salvation would become accessible to them and salvation become possible for them. And Paul's great example, therefore, to follow was Jesus Christ. And as confessed Christians, wanting to do what is right and pleasing to God, Jesus Christ must also be your great example as well. Your example. Your call this hour, dear people, this afternoon, is to follow Jesus Christ, to imitate Him, and that in your daily walk. Now the question can be asked, well, can I really do that in my own strength? No, you can't do that in your own strength. That means, of course, that you must draw your strength from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, of whom you have confessed fellowship. As Paul says it so beautifully in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And from our text, we may therefore conclude that Paul's example was Christ, and through his relationship with Christ and in the strength of Christ, he followed Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, old and young, if you confess to be a believer, take Jesus Christ as your example. Follow Him. Imitate Him. He will take you through the traffic of this world. He will make sure that you will not fall behind at any time. It is safe. It is safe to follow Him, you see. Even if you don't know the way, even if you don't know the direction He's going, He knows it. And He knows what is best for you as well. Even if you must go through the dark valley of the shadow of death, He will take you through it. You may trust Him. You may count on His help. Keep your eyes on Him, therefore, at all times. He is the best model. He is the best example to follow and to imitate. But then, Paul goes on to say that he, Paul, is also an example for us to follow, as we want to consider this in the second place. Now, in our Thessalonian passages, Paul takes himself and his fellow workers by name Silvanus and Timothy as examples for the Thessalonians to follow. And so he says here in our text, you became followers of us. And in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 7 and verse 9, he says, you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. We make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Paul, aren't you busy repeating yourself? No, I want you to understand this clearly. You must follow us. Paul actually makes a very bold and daring statement, you see, to the Thessalonians. He says to them, you can follow me. You can follow my fellow workers. You can use us as your example of what it means to be a Christian. You can imitate us. You should imitate us, in fact. Now you'll understand that's a very bold and daring statement, isn't it? And I'm addressing the brothers office bearers for a moment as well, fellow workers in Christ's vineyard. Do we, you and I, do we dare to make such a statement? Dare people, just follow me. Do we dare to make that sort of a statement? Can we say to our church family, follow us, use us as your example? You ought to and you should imitate us? I ask you, and again, I speak to the office bearers, myself, is your and my life, is it an open book of Christian service? Would you actually feel comfortable if the members of the congregation would begin to imitate you? Would you feel comfortable with that? Young people leaders amongst us, would you be happy if your young friends would follow your example? Would you? Well, now you might ask, in what way should they imitate us? And in what way should they use us as their example to follow? Well, let me show you. In these two letters to the Thessalonians, from which we have read a little bit, the Apostle Paul gives us insight into the nature of Christian service. For instance, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul tells us in verse 7, we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. And in verse 8, affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Or, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he expresses the thankfulness for what God the Lord has done in the lives of the Thessalonians. And then he states this very clearly. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. And then in chapter 3 and verse 7 he states, we were not disorderly among you. And so Paul says to them, follow us, imitate us in being gentle, in being affectionate, in being self-sacrificing, in being thankful, in being orderly. And so brothers in the office, but all those who have a leadership, fellow office bearers, young people leaders, catechism teachers, school teachers, are you prepared to say this to your church family and to your congregation, or to your class? Follow us. Imitate us. Now, this is certainly a good call to take seriously as you and I function in some leadership capacity in the church. We need to take this very seriously. After all, if you are called to make yourself available to be followed, imitated, and used as models, models of sincerity, models of integrity and godliness, you better walk in that way. You better conduct yourself in that way, don't you think? And so the question is again, can your people follow you and imitate you so that their lives are genuinely Christian? What about us, fellow brothers and sisters, confessing our faith in Jesus Christ? Are we examples of gentleness and affection and prayerfulness and thankfulness and orderliness to others? After all, this is what it means to be Christian, isn't it? Again, this means more than just coming to church regularly, and it's good to come to church faithfully twice on the Lord's Day if possible. But it means more than you stating that you are a Christian. No, it means being a living, being an example-giving Christian, an example-following Christian, an example-giving Christian. After all, this is why the Word of God is proclaimed to you each Sunday to remind you who the Lord Jesus Christ is, how He has conducted Himself when He was still on this earth. And you remember this very well. He modeled all of these qualities to perfection. And Jesus Christ wants to share those qualities with you and with me. This is why Jesus Christ offers His strength to you and to me in the strengthening of our faith, so that we can indeed imitate Him and be good examples to others. Because you see, it is only through Jesus Christ that we can become examples of gentleness and affection and prayerfulness and orderliness to others. Now, allow me to make a few practical applications. As a Christian, you and I, we are to be kind to others. We are to be kind to our wife, our husband, our children, to those who are part of our church family. We are to be kind at all times. Because look at the kindness that the Lord Jesus Christ showed to Mary and Martha, for instance, in their sorrow at the loss of their brother Lazarus. Jesus Christ wept with them. He wept with them. Or think of the kindness of Jesus Christ, how we show this to little children, when he said, "Let them come to me." And he would take them up in his arms and he would bless them. Or think of the kindness that Jesus Christ showed to his mother when he, himself in crucifixion agony, still showed concern for his mother and said to John, "Please take care of her." Now these are marvelous examples to follow, aren't they? Therefore, when you catch yourself in the act of unkindness, please tell yourself, "This is not Christ-like." And then turn away from such unkindness and follow the example of Jesus Christ and be Christ-like. Or, and here's another practical application, as a Christian, you are to be forgiving towards others. Look at how God, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has forgiven you, my fellow brother or sister believer. He has forgiven us far more wrong than any wrong that any person could ever do to us. He has forgiven us in such a great amount that we cannot possibly even perceive and understand how much we are forgiven. Therefore, we are told by Jesus Christ Himself that we are to forgive others, you see. So therefore, when you catch yourself to be rather unforgiving, in an unforgiving mood, when you catch yourself holding a grudge, not willing really to forgive others, tell yourself, "This is not godly. This is not Christ-like." And then get on with forgiving others. And this is why we also pray, don't we? "And forgive us our trespasses." And listen to this. "As we forgive those who trespass against us." Now, John Calvin has something to say about that. And listen carefully what he has to say. He tells us that we are to be very careful in praying that line of the Lord's Prayer. Because, he says, if you do not forgive others, you say, as it were, to God, "Well, don't forgive me." Then God can actually say to you, "Well, you are not in the process of forgiving others. I cannot forgive you. I will not forgive you." Therefore, be forgiving. Be forgiving. One more practical application. As a Christian, you are to be patient with others under all circumstances. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ, how patient He was with the foibles of His disciples. But He did not give up on them. No, He did not at all. He did not give up on doubting Thomas. He did not give up on the argument of sons of Zebedee. Neither did He give up on the impulsive Simon Peter, who always put his foot in his mouth. Jesus Christ was patient with all of them at all times. And He spoke to them in an encouraging way. Through His patience with them, they all became profitable in the kingdom of God. And therefore, when you catch yourself becoming impatient with someone, just tell yourself quietly, "This is not Christ-like. This is not helpful, either to myself or to others." Well then, the charge comes to us, to you and to me this hour, you who confess to be Christians, follow Jesus Christ. Imitate Him in your daily life and be an example of gentleness and affection and prayerfulness and orderliness and kindness and patience and in whatever else Jesus Christ has modeled for you. Follow Him. And with Jesus Christ's help, you can do so. Or as Paul has said it, as I said it already before, through Christ, I can do all things who strengthens me. But now, one step further yet. What about us, fathers and mothers, and grandparents? This takes me to my third point. Paul's call for us is to be example setters. Now let me explain what I mean with this third heading. God's Word, through Paul's letters, calls you and me to be example setters. As we follow Jesus Christ and imitate Him, we as followers of Jesus Christ are then to set an example for others to follow us. Or to use the more common word, we are to be models. We are to be models. Now, how can you and I be model parents, for instance? At rock bottom, basic level, you must have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and be a follower of Christ. Nothing less will do. And only after you become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ can you actually become model parents in your families. And yes, I am addressing the parents and the grandparents of families, but also the young men and the young women in the congregation who hope one day to be parents. See to it, first of all, that you are followers of Jesus Christ and that you have that personal relationship, saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot emphasize that more than what I'm saying it. I wish I could, but you need to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes through repentance of your sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That comes through being sorrowful about your sin and then trusting your whole sinful self to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the bottom meaning of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, dear parents, dear grandparents, make sure that you have that sort of relationship with Him. Then you are to focus your attention upon Jesus Christ and concentrate on following and on imitating Him, Jesus Christ. How so? Well, by be loving towards your children. Now, is it redundant for me to say that? I don't think so in this day and age. We need to be loving towards our children. We need to be patient with our children. We need to be gentle and kind towards them. And when they need to be disciplined, and there are times when they do need that discipline, be gracious, be merciful in your discipline. Never discipline out of frustration. Never discipline in order to vent your anger. But I don't think I need to emphasize that. This practical matter for long, I trust you understand what I mean here. Rather, let me point out to you, parents, and also grandparents, that you be an example to your children, an example particularly of you following, imitating Jesus Christ. By doing so, you will then be an example setter. This is what Paul means here. When he says in verse 7 of our text, speaking to the Thessalonians, you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Now, do you see the connection? I want you to understand this. Jesus Christ was an example for Paul. Paul, in turn, became an example to the Thessalonian Christians. And the Thessalonian Christians became example setters. And this is why Paul says to them, you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Now again, dear parents, let us become example setters for our children, grandparents, example setters for your grandchildren. Teach them to become examples. This is the secret, you see, to being good Christian parents in the family. And this is what it means to living, what it means to have a living Christianity. That's what living Christianity is all about, you see. It isn't just about words. It isn't just about lectures. It isn't even just about sermons, listening to them. It is about living the Christian life by word and deed, by word and by action and conduct. You see, we can ramble on about doctrine, but if we do not set the example that the doctrine points to, we are nothing but hypocrites. Our words, you see, our words must prove to be true by the example that we set. And only then can we become example setters. And so again, dear parents, dear grandparents, can you say to your offspring, not only do as I say, but can you say, do as I do? That's the difference, you see. Then when your offspring sees that your words match up with your conduct, you will become an example setter, and your offspring will want to be an example to others as well. Paul, in exalting a living Christianity, said therefore to the Thessalonians, you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. And he could say this because he himself was an example of living Christianity, of a believing Christianity, of a Christianity of word and of matching conduct. The Apostle Paul. Oh, may this be true of you and of me, and that by the grace of God, and by the example set by the Lord Jesus Christ, and may we find that what we have heard may be a reason for us to seek the strength of Christ, for through Christ I can do all things, also set the example for others. May all of us, therefore, young and old, be followers of Him who at present sits on the throne in heaven, waiting for us, and remember this, waiting for us who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's waiting for us to follow Him into heaven. Amen. Let us close with thanksgiving. Lord God, we thank You for Your Word, in which we have received some very practical instructions. But what a great thing it is that we have such a great example in the person and work, words and conduct of Jesus Christ. And we thank You that through Him and through having a personal relationship with Him, we too can become examples of a living Christianity. Lord God, grant that this may be abundantly clear in the midst of this congregation here, that the men and women, boys and girls, may know what it means to imitate Christ, our great model, and that we may become example setters, that the world may see that there's something different, something gloriously different about us, and that the world may become jealous, and that they too may want what we have. And then, tying it in with what we heard this morning, it will be a good way of us to spreading the word. And therefore, bless us richly. Bless the congregation. Bless the elders and the deacons. Give them much wisdom as they want to guide their young, new pastor in the ways that are best for him and best for the congregation and above all to the glory of God. Make all things well. And as we leave the sanctuary, dismiss us in Your favor and with Your blessing, that we may enter into a new week, whether it is a week of vacation or a week of work, that we may be kept safe. Bring us home safely as well this hour, and grant Your blessing to continue to rest upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.